Welcome again. Happy Labor Day weekend. I'm Pastor Barry. I'm delighted to welcome you here for those of you who are visiting us for the first time. And welcome back to all of you who are away for the summer. I want to say thank you again to those of you who joined us for our outdoor service last week. It was really great to see you and to meet some of you. A special shout out to Boston College, who were approximately a quarter of the 170 people who came out. And by the way, uncounted in that number were some local residents who I noticed worshiping and dancing along with our worship outside the parking lot, and that was really cool to see. The month of September is normally one of Symphony's busiest months of the year, as college students return and new students, whether freshmen or grad students, visit with us. I say normally, but this is not a normal year, and so I'm not sure what to expect. However, I want all of you to know that Symphony is committed to walking with you through this next season of your life. And along with that, and keeping in the spirit of welcoming all of you, here is my cell phone number, okay? For those of you who don't already have it, I'm making it available to you. You're welcome to reach out with questions, prayer requests, invitations to treat me to coffee or a meal. And what I'd like for you to do right now is, if you're planning to text me, take a selfie, write your full name in the message, and send it to this number. And I will add it to my contact list. And as I add your name to my information or to my contact information, I'll pray for you and do the best that I can to brand your name into my memory. So take a selfie right now, send it to this number. Okay, you can do this whether you are a first-time guest or a long-standing member. Last year, I did this for the first time, and I had texts from over 200 people come in, so I'm mentally prepared for the chaos that is going to ensue. All right, so all right, thank you. Well, why don't we take a minute right now and greet one another in the church as well. You can head over to the Zoom room and say hello to some of the people there. If you are in the Zoom room, please turn your cameras on so we can see your beautiful faces as we say hello to you. I'll see you in a minute. Well, welcome back. So today is a big day for us, and there are a number of reasons why. Obviously, it's the beginning of the school year. We're a very college student-friendly church. In fact, almost two-thirds of our congregation are college students. Another reason today is a big day is that it's actually our 10th anniversary. 10 years ago yesterday, Symphony Church officially launched. And we're not going to officially celebrate it today. Instead, we're going to have a 10-year anniversary virtual conference on October 23rd through 25th, where we're going to have some special guest speakers, some testimonies, a time to celebrate God's faithfulness. It's been an exciting 10 years. Even though we're not going to be celebrating that anniversary in the way that I had originally anticipated and planned, but then again, God has done so much more in and through Symphony than I had originally anticipated or expected. And a big part of that, of course, is you. God brought you. He's been working in you and through you to make this, us, a community that I am so proud of. At the same time, I believe that God has only just begun. There is so much more to come. One last reason that today is a big day is that we're going to start a brand new teaching series called Bless. Every September, we begin the academic year looking at one of our core values. And Symphony members know that our core values can be summarized with the acronym SCOPE. We want everything at Symphony to have scope. If you are viewing this with someone, tell them, we want everything we do to have scope. Okay? But what does that mean? Scope stands for scriptural, communal, outward, prayerful, and empowered. And you may have noticed that the gospel is not listed among those values, not because the gospel is not valued. In fact, it may be our highest value, but because scope describes how, as a church, we want to grow in our knowledge of and live out the gospel. Okay, these are the values that we're trying to live out and grow into as a church. And in order for these values to remain deep-seated in our lives, we need to continually remind ourselves of them and what they mean. 2 years ago, we spent 5 weeks looking at the place of Scripture in a believer's life. Last year, we spent a whole semester looking at the church in the book of Acts as we explored the biblical value of community. And today, I'm going to briefly review the five values, looking at the first church in Acts. And then next week, we're going to begin a deep dive into what it means to be an outwardly focused church. Okay, so let's go to a familiar passage, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this new season. We're praying that some great things would happen this fall. I pray that this fall, marked progress would be made in controlling the coronavirus. I pray that this fall, there would be visible healing in the various divisions of our nation. I pray that this fall, lives in Boston would be changed by the gospel. I pray that this fall, we, and especially our college students, would not only begin to find normalcy, but also to thrive. I pray that this fall we would be devoted to your word, devoted to community, devoted to prayer. Live in such a way that people outside the church would be blessed and that all this would happen through the power of your Spirit coming upon us so that we would know and live out and demonstrate the gospel. Come now, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So where do we get these five values from? Well, they come from all over Scripture, but we see them summarized here in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 begins with the disciples praying in the upper room. The Holy Spirit comes upon the 120. Peter preaches the gospel to thousands. 3,000 people repent, turn to Jesus, and form the community that we just read about. A community like the world has never seen before. A gospel and Holy Spirit-shaped Jesus community that was devoted to Scripture, community, loving people outside the church and inside the church, and prayer. So we have five values. The first value is Scripture, okay? Scripture. The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles teaching about? Well, they were teaching about Jesus and what he commanded. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And the main verb here is the Greek word matheteo, which means make disciples. As a church, we are unapologetically about helping people become Jesus followers. The end goal for you is not to become a better person, to feel more peace in your life, or for you to contribute mightily to society, etc. All these things are good, but they're byproducts of a life devoted to following Jesus. How can we follow Jesus? How can you know what it means to be a disciple? You know, I'm sorry to say that many people who consider themselves Christian aren't actually following Jesus. They're following a socially constructed idea about who Jesus was, a Jesus who oftentimes looks like them, thinks like them, agrees with their politics and worldview. In order to fully know Jesus, you have to go to the source. We have to look at his teachings and then follow them. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." In order to follow Jesus, we have to first hear his words and then do them. Now, I believe that God can speak to us in a number of ways through the Holy Spirit, but the most reliable way is through the Scripture that our Lord Jesus himself loved. He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Later, Paul would write these words, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man, the woman of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work." No wonder the first church, with believers who were excited about following the Jesus who had given them new life, were devoted to Scripture. So this is why we have times of meditative, prayerful Scripture reading at 7 a.m. on weekdays, and I hope you join us. Or Bible devotions that you can access on your app. Or a weekday lunchtime Bible study that you can join. Scripture is part of our family groups, and it's part of our large groups, and it's part of our worship. As a church, we've decided to trust in His Word over the world. And we want to read the Bible with both intellectual rigor, but also humble and obedient hearts. Second, community. Okay? The second thing that the church in the book of Acts is described as being devoted to is fellowship. The Greek word here is koinonia, a word rich in meaning that I think is rather inadequately expressed through the word fellowship. The root word koine means common, and as we see in verse 44, all who believed were together and had all things in common. What did that look like? Well, the writer Luke tells us. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Okay, so I prefer the word community to fellowship because community, like koinonia, has that root word common in it. A community is a place where we hold all things in common. In other words, it's a place where we are eager to share ourselves, our resources, our time, our energies, as we pursue after Jesus and His will. Community is vital. It's vital because according to Scripture, we were designed to be in community. As God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. But also because God designed community to be the avenue, the vehicle by which discipleship happens. You've all heard the African saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, biblically speaking, it takes a whole church to make a disciple of Jesus. According to Ephesians 4, one of my favorite passages, my job is to equip all of you for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How does that happen? Well, in verse 16, he says, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It does take a whole church to make disciples of Jesus. It takes all of us devoting ourselves to the pursuit of helping one another follow Jesus. And obviously, our community has faced great challenges this year due to COVID and the physical and social separation that we've had to endure. How do we do community when we're mostly virtual? Please hear me carefully. This year, more than ever, each of us individually have to have a greater intentionality when it comes to community and following Jesus. You know, we're not a perfect community by any means. But when we talk about scope, I think the community value is the one that actually we're the strongest in. Pastor Young, pastor of Grace Covenant Church in Philadelphia, which was our sending church 10 years ago, I'd like to say about GCC, we're not a perfect church, but we're a great church because we follow a great God. And I like that. I think that's true of Symphony. We're not a perfect church, but we're a great church because we follow a great God. And we're going to be stubbornly committed to Jesus and to His body, the church, believing that it takes a whole church to make a disciple of Jesus. So Scripture-based, community-oriented, third, outwardly focused. Now, this value is not actually explicitly mentioned as something that the Acts 2 church was devoted to. A few weeks ago, I talked about how the church in Jerusalem may have enjoyed the community in Jerusalem so much that they were neglecting Jesus' mandate to be His witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So God allows a persecution to break out in Acts chapter 8, which scatters the believers into those areas so that they do go out. But it's also true that we can do community in such a way in our cities so that other people notice. And that's actually what happens in Acts chapter 2. Verse 47, we read, the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. The church exists to be an instrument of our God's mission, a mission to save and redeem this world. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, there's always a movement outward in our disciple-making adventure. Craig Groeschel, pastor of Life Church, the largest church in the United States, puts it like this. He says, "We will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. And to reach people no one is reaching, we have to do things no one is doing." And I like that. Can we do all that we can so that others will know the redemptive love of Jesus Christ? Can we learn to share that gospel with other people? Can we do all we can so that our society and our city will experience that love in practical ways? Dr. Emmett Price of Gordon-Conwell defined justice this way. He said, "Justice is simply love in the public sphere." Can we do that? Can we pray and act so that God's will be done in an individual's life and our city just as it is done in heaven? Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about a specific strategy to do this. It's called BLESS. That's what we want to do. We will seek to take the ways we've been blessed and bless others with it. But it's also an acronym, which we're going to explore in depth. And to learn what that acronym's about, come back next week. We want to send people on global mission. And by the way, we believe that it's going to be possible to send out one-year missionary interns next year through our family of churches AMI. So please be on the lookout for more information about the application process. We care about God's global mission. We also want to send people on local mission, and this is the heart behind our homeless outreach and our partnership with the Jackson Mann K-8 school in Austin. College students especially, I want to ask that you consider giving 1 to 2 hours a week this year to tutor and come alongside a Boston Public School student who's having a hard time with remote learning and can use all the help that they can get. The church exists for those who are outside of it. We're going to preach the gospel. We want to live out the gospel. We want to demonstrate the gospel. Two more values that go hand in hand. Fourth, we want to be prayer-driven, okay? The church began with prayer. 120 believers prayed together in a small room in accordance with Jesus' instructions, and they prayed for 10 days. The Holy Spirit came. Peter preached then for 10 minutes, and 3,000 people came to Christ. The Jesus community that formed likewise devoted themselves to prayer. Unfortunately, in the modern church, we pray for 10 minutes. We can preach for hours, and we celebrate when a few individuals come to Christ. Now, I don't say that to diminish the value of a single individual coming to Jesus. Jesus tells us that all of heaven celebrates when one person repents and comes back to the Lord. But without prayer, a direct line connecting us to God, we're not going to be moving and flowing in his will and power. Both in scripture and in history, kingdom advancement was often preceded by extraordinary prayer that was united, persistent, and kingdom-centered. Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this way, right? To seek God, to seek his will, to be persistent in the seeking. And while we have prayer meetings during the week, this is also why we emphasize prayer in our Sunday services. Jesus said that his house would be a house of prayer. When better to pray then than when we're all gathered together? Prayer is the direct line of a people with mustard seed-sized faith to a mountain-moving God. Prayer can move mountains because we're heard by a mountain-moving God, and that brings us to our last value. We know that we can't do God's work without the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, so we need to be empowered. Okay, we can't do it, but God can do it. Who is at work in the Acts church? God was at work. Who is adding to the number of the church? God was adding to the number of the church. You know, and he was at work and his children simply joined in. When we try to accomplish things with our own vision and power, we're able to do human-sized things. But when we work with God's vision and God's power, then we're able to go after God-sized tasks and challenges. You know, when the Holy Spirit is at work, 3,000 people came to Christ in a single day. When the Holy Spirit is at work, people are healed and they're set free of bondages. When the Holy Spirit is at work, people who were enemies become reconciled. When the Holy Spirit is at work, a Jesus movement can start that transforms cities and reaches the nations. What if we said no to small thinking and safe living? What if we put our trust in a mountain-moving, people-loving, compassionate, merciful, and just God to be faithful to his will being done on earth just as it's done in heaven? What if we went after dreams so big for our campuses and cities, so far outside of our capabilities and resources that we had to be on our knees in prayer? Let's pray.